Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. Dan and JJ here to recap Week 15 against the New England Patriots up there in Boston. And holy crap, Dan. It was a tale of two halves, as were so many of the Bills games this year. We haven't heard from Brandon. I heard from Brandon.
Okay. He's okay.
How's Brandon doing?
Okay. Yeah, he's okay. We had actually a very rational discourse over text after that game. So, yeah, that's what I like about Brandon. Chill dude, like watches the game for what it is, like never gets overly emotional. Yeah, definitely a good hang, even though he doesn't root for the proper team.
Recognizes that the Pats still probably have the division. It's just going to take them a little bit longer.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, exactly. But I mean, it was definitely, I will fully admit it. I was Doom Mafia. I was Doom Mafia the first half. I was in the you know, game thread on Reddit being like, fire everybody. Oh my God. we're the worst team that's ever lived. They're wasting Josh Allen's talent. Keon Coleman's a scrub. You know, like I was off the hinges. What did I say? Oh, one of my top comments that actually got updated a couple of times, which is rare because it's always just a stream of consciousness for everybody, was that Greg Rousseau was a massive overpay and a complete failure of a pick.
Mean, you're probably still not wrong.
No, I know.
He had a sack in this game, but you're probably still not wrong.
Yeah, but it was like I was just watching him just do literally nothing every snap and being like, well, he's not injured. There's nothing to explain why he sucks. so, yeah, it was... I was with you, Bills Mafia. I was with you through it all. It was a roller coaster.
Over under, JJ, 7.4 million regrettable tweets sent out by Bills Mafia in the first half of that game.
Over by 10 million.
Over. Yeah. Over. Yeah. So far over.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, listen, the frustration was justified.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, dude. And I've gone through all my notes from that game, all my observations. I've rewatched a couple of key sets. I don't know what it is, particularly about the defensive side of the ball, because the offensive play calling to me and the schematics didn't change from half one to half two. It was just better execution by the Bills. I don't know what it is about the first half of games with this Bills defense that they wait to do the things that we all know are going to be successful for them, for a team that doesn't have a lot of elite personnel, for a team that really has genuine schematic disadvantages against other teams. There are levers that they can pull, albeit limited, that they just wait to pull until the second half. I thought for sure they were going to light up Drake May with some sort of blitzing pressure, right? Make a young QB in a high leverage moment. Try to identify where the blitz is coming from. Where is the pressure coming from? Because the McDaniels offense is very tailored to a QB who can get to the line of scrimmage, identify coverage patterns, and then understand where his route availability is going to be. It's not what Josh is being asked to do, or even what Trevor Lawrence is now being asked to do in the Liam Coleman offense in Jacksonville, where you're calling out different markers and different potential blitzers and adjusting all of your protections at the line of scrimmage. Like Drake May, while as good as he is not doing a lot of the pre-snap stuffs because McDaniels isn't asking him to. So it seemed ripe with opportunity, JJ, all throughout that game for the Bills to take advantage of that. And they did, but only after they spotted the Patriots a 21-point lead. I don't get it. I don't get why it takes them so long to get this defense going in games.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, I think that the conversation I was having during the second half was like, I guess you'd rather have a second half team than a first half team, right? Like everyone would rather have the team.
What's wrong with a four quarter team? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with a four quarter team.
Dan, the problem is with this Bills team, if this Bills team plays like Josh Allen in the fourth quarter for four quarters, they'll win every game 114-0. And like,
that's fine.
That. I would love that.
But
yeah,
that's okay. Like that. Yeah. JJ, that's fine.
so yeah, no, it's wacky because, you know, I saw exactly what you did. They were heating him up with blitzes. They were, you know, disguising things. They were rotating safeties and they were doing it all in the second half. In the first half, they were sort of vanilla on
defense.
It was
very vanilla. It was like preseason vanilla. Yeah. Yes.
And they were out of, and while being vanilla, they were also out of position. So I feel like they potentially came into the game being like, we're going to play our fundamentals strong. And then after they're like, well, that didn't work. Let's dump the freaking junk drawer on the table and filter through what's there, right? And so that's kind of where the junk drawer approach is what I think the second half defense is to be explained.
Well, and they didn't even get a huge pressure rate on Drake May. Like, he's been sitting at about 30% this season because we know that New England offensive line has had its issues. They only got about a 17.4% pressure rate on Drake May in this game, according to Next Gen Stats. But it felt like they made the pressure count. They were either making him hold on to the ball too long or he was taking sacks. They sacked him 3 times in this game. So they were the pressure was, I will say this, it was Jerry Hughes effective. You had a lot of guys on that defensive line with effort in the pressure game against Drake May that will not show up in the stat box. And I think for the first time all season, to me, that was effective enough for the Bills to get to an opposing QB in the way that they did. I don't understand why it has to take them so long. JJ, do you think McDermott was calling plays in the second half? Because I absolutely do. I saw him roll out in the second half with the play call sheet. And I think it's as simple as McDermott and high leverage moments is starting to call plays just for the defense.
Taking play calling over. Well, and I think that it was the same thing in the second half against the Houston Texans. I feel like maybe he lets Bobby Babich call the game to start the game, but then just yanks it back anytime. and that's the thing too, is like, I feel like in the event that this kind of trend keeps going, I think it's almost guaranteed that Bobby Babich will be leaving this team in the offseason, right? Like, I think Sean McDermott respects him too much. He respects his dad too much. They have too much of a rapport over the years for him to unceremoniously like can him midseason. But I think he may just take play calling away from him repeatedly when they need to, and then eventually just like, you know, the mutual part ways type thing. And it's interesting because from what we know of Bobby Babich as a position coach, I wonder if he'll ever be a solid play caller in the NFL. And I wonder how much of it is his ability to play call and how much of it is the scheme that is not his to design, right? Like, it's, we all know it's Sean McDermott's defense. Like, that is the thing. And so I wonder how much of it is Bobby Babich just a terrible play caller, or is Sean McDermott's scheme such that Bobby Babich isn't good at calling it, but Sean McDermott is?
I think it's probably a little bit of a mix of both. And I think Babich is a really smart coach. Like, we were very excited because he was out there interviewing for DC positions. He interviewed with Miami before Anthony Weaver got that job. He was out there coveted by other teams because I think people realized that he is a young ascendant defensive mind. I think where he is at with play calling is just he doesn't have enough reps under his belt. And when you have the personnel that the Buffalo Bills do, which is, to your point, personnel that is built for what Sean McDermott wants to do with this defense and not necessarily where your mind thinks it should be applied, I can definitely see that kind of holding him back and it being a struggle. I want to see him lose play calling because I just don't think the chops are there. But also, when you ask me, do I think he should be jettisoned from the team? He brings a ton of value as a positional coach. Like, that linebacker room, he maximized every bit of talent out of that room for years with this squad. Just because he can't do this one thing at a high level doesn't mean there isn't more value that he still brings to the team. I'm legitimately conflicted about Babich because I don't think he should call any more plays, but I also don't want to lose him either, if that makes sense.
And is it the kind of thing where it's like one of those like weird offseason shuffles that head coaching staffs do where like, oh, Bobby Babich is the, you know, assistant head coach and defensive coordinator, doesn't play calls anymore. They elevate the defensive line coach that they brought in, who was formerly a DC, and make him like the game day defensive coordinator. You know, like, they do some of those weird kind of jumble things, right, where people don't get pay cuts, they don't lose titles, but they kind of had their responsibilities are moved around to a point where it's Sean McDermott calling the plays and he's got a couple of assistants helping him with, you know, the head coaching stuff on game day.
Yep, for sure. JJ, someone who I don't think is going to have any of their responsibilities reshuffled is one Josh Allen. Another winter soldier, masterful type of game. And when you juxtapose it with how inept the first half was, up until that first touchdown score passed to James Cook at the end of the first half, he had a net negative passing yardage of -2 yards. Comes all the way back, finishes with, I think, 3 total touchdowns in this particular game. Would have been 4, which would have given him 300 for his career. Sadly, we're going to have to wait one more game for him to get that. But JJ, just another great game from Josh Allen. And the way he's seeing the field, the way no moment, no deficit feels too big for him. Are you buying into, after this game, the Buffalo Bills, now officially without Mahomes, now officially without Joe Burrow in the postseason, and looking very likely that there's no Lamar Jackson, are you buying into this is the year for the Buffalo Bills to make their run?
I've been buying into that since we saw the Chiefs and Ravens floundering in the middle of the season. The resistance through the playoffs is minor. Like I always thought the Patriots were a real team, and I still do. I think they're a real team. They're a well-coached team. They play pretty good, consistent ball. I think that they could give the Bills fits. Drake May is not at that level yet when it comes to like QB versus QB. Whose guy is better in critical and clutch moments? Drake May is not that guy yet. And he very well could be. I think that Drake May was a little bit let down by McDaniel's play calling. And the fact that they only ran the ball 3 times in the second half was a travesty for the Patriots fans, because they were crushing the Bills with the run. One of those 3 runs was a 65-yard TD. Like, oh, holding or not, right? Like, that was a they just ripped that thing. And so Cole Bishop was having a pretty terrible game with his run fits. And
Max Harrison was a struggle,
Max Harrison was struggling. Shaq Thompson, I think, missed 5 tackles, which is rare for him. It was a really, really rough game for him. I mean, he was out of position pass coverage, too.
I think I posted this on socials a couple of times in our accounts. Verdarian Lowe erased Shaq Thompson multiple times at the second level in this game. And to me, JJ, I feel like that's the continued vulnerability for this team. Like, we know how this team is going to lose, right?
Yep.
They don't fit the run well. They're relying on a Phoenix-like rebirth of Shaq Thompson after an injury-riddled campaign with Carolina the past couple of years. But like, a lot of this stuff feels like a grain of sand type of situation where if one thing goes wrong, i.e. you can't rely on Shaq Thompson to fit the run, or a team like Houston or a team like what New England did here in the first half of this game makes your DBs try to fit the run. And we know that, yes, Benford's reliable at that. That's never been Trey White's game. And Max Harrison is still figuring that stuff out. It feels like there are real disadvantages that still persist with this Buffalo Bills team that make me hesitate, even though we'll have the most experienced postseason QB aside from Aaron Rodgers on our side in this draw in the playoffs.
Also, maybe Phillip Rivers, but we can talk about that.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think to your point before, and kind of to finish my thought, I have been, since probably week 8, 9, 10, maybe, I have been thinking if the Bills can secure their spot in the playoffs, they are going to have the best quarterback, the best playoff quarterback of the entire field, with the exception of maybe somebody on the NFC side, Matt Stafford, right?
Stafford, like, yeah.
They will have the most, you know, battle-tested and most skilled quarterback of the whole field. And so, you know, it's the kind of thing where if somebody knocks the Rams out at some point on the NFC side, it could be a Josh Allen. Josh Allen could be the only quarterback left who knows how to get it done in crunch time like that. So, I mean, it's interesting. I do, you know, there are matchups for the Bills, you know, Houston at Houston that I'm not excited about. But I feel very good about the fact that as soon as the game wrapped for the Bills, it switched to the Chiefs just in time for me to watch Patrick Mahomes blow his ACL, which I don't wish for injuries ever.
Correct.
But to see a despondent Chiefs team in general, not injury related, but rather out of the playoffs related, that was just delicious. That just made a peach of a Sunday, right? To have Chris Jones at the post game podium say, "Well, we're still fighting," and they're like, "You're out of the playoffs." He's like, "Oh, we out of the playoffs. Huh. You know, like that was amazing.
Like they, it's clear that the coaching staff didn't even prep them for that potential outcome. No. You know what I mean? They're just not a situation they're used to being in, yeah, for sure.
They don't know how to live in that space, right? This will be the first AFC Championship game in 5 years that Patrick Mahomes has not been in.
Exactly. Yeah. So JJ, the Buffalo Bills here live and die with playing two quarters at a time. They are like the Vin Diesel Fast and Furious version of a football team, where they live in the shortest possible intervals to make their highest leverage plays. Joey Bosa has some great splash plays, also some great pressures in this game too. Lots of takeaways from this game that I think we can extrapolate, not just the Bills' next matchup against Cleveland, but also, as we've been doing, kind of future into the playoffs. One thing I want to note here, because it cost me winning that prop bet I made with you and Brandon, the over-under I put on wide receiver catches for this Buffalo Bills squad was 5.5 for this game. And you guys were like, too low, there's no way. It was 6, but I will argue it should have been 5, because as pretty as that pass was to Khalil Shakir that was ruled a catch and then also ruled PI, I am not 100% sure Khalil Shakir had possession of that ball.
Me neither.
The PI was a real thing, but I don't think he did. But I just want to point out that technically, I think it was really just 5 and I was correct.
Yeah.
But so that begs the question, because we're walking into a Cleveland Browns game, and we'll get into a full-blown preview in a second. Walking into a Browns game where they've been susceptible by DVOA to number 2 wide receivers, but they defend tight ends really, really well, and they defend your primary wide receiver option really well too. This is a game where, and they're a good run defense. Yep. This is a game where it feels like you would want a couple of wide receivers to step up and do something if you're going to be the best version of your offense against this wildly successful defense. JJ, what was your impression of the Buffalo Bills wideouts in this particular game? We know they block, right? Yep. But the only wide receivers that were targeted in this game were Shakir and Josh Palmer. Brandon Cooks also had 3 targets in this game, most notably the bobble catch that was overturned. But then Shavers and Keon Coleman, no official targets, because the one target we saw to Coleman was ruled a defensive pass interference. Is there a formula for success that you have seen based on this game where the Buffalo Bills can really live with only 3 viable wide receiver options?
Yes, and I can't believe I'm saying it, but it is a lineup of Josh Palmer, Gabe Davis, and Khalil Shakir. Like, it is that. Those are the three wide receiver set. Those are the 3 people on the field for me where I'm like, we have a chance of making something happen to an outside receiver. Or
that is crazy to say. I didn't think anything of Gabe Davis being a healthy scratch for this game, because it feels like they want him on the playoff roster. This felt more like an audition for Keon Coleman, and it felt like Coleman really, really failed.
Failed it. Yeah.
Like lazy routes again.
Yeah. Right? Lazy routes. Decent, I guess, run blocking, but nothing spectacular.
That's what I don't get. He does like try to block his butt off. He's not Tyrell Shavers, right? Shavers is like mauling people.
He's very good at it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He is like a lanky offensive lineman with the way he blocks. His technique is really sound. Like, but Coleman's pretty game, but it just feels like they are going to do this with the smallest rotation possible after bringing in the everybody eats mantra last year.
Yeah. And I think that's the picture going forward. I don't like Keon Coleman's snaps over Gabe Davis, which just sounds terrible, but I've just seen more from Gabe Davis as a route runner, as a reliable chemistry option for Josh Allen. And we know Gabe Davis is not only a willing blocker, because that's the thing. Keon Coleman looks like a willing blocker. He looks like he puts energy into it. He's just really, really poor at it most of the time. Mm-hmm. I love bringing up the Seattle Seahawks game, because that was the one flash where we're like, oh my gosh, this guy could be what they were hoping for. But other than that game and maybe a couple other snaps and a few other games, he doesn't look like he knows how to position his body, how to drop his hips, how to like actually push a person or square off or square out a block as a wide receiver. Like, blocking in space it's more about basketball than football, which shocks me that he's not good at it.
Because he's a basketball player, right?
Yeah.
I think the Bills putting some of these deep shots on film for Brandon Cooks is very intentional too. Come postseason, they want teams to be afraid of this. They're eventually going to need to connect on some of that, It'll be interesting to see what happens when Mecole Hardman comes back, because his practice window is about to open up. It could very well be that a rotation that started with Curtis Samuel, with Elijah Moore, and Keon Coleman ends up being Khalil Shakir, Gabe Davis, no Keon Coleman, Mecole Hardman, and Brandon Cooks is like this set of four type of wide receivers, complementing what has become a really solid receiving tight end duo in Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid as well. JJ, that'll bring me to the last thing I want to ask you about this game. Buffalo Bills play action rate in this game was 30%. Previous game against the Cincinnati Bengals, it was almost 40%. In it, it was almost exclusively early down boot action to tight ends. Is this the final form of this passing offense to you, where they're going to establish the run, they're going to be a 52% run team versus a 48% pass team, and this is a team that is going to spam play action to their tight ends in the middle of the field to take advantage of linebacker matchups? Is this the final form of the Bills offense to you that they'll carry into the postseason?
I hope not. I hope they have one or two more wrinkles left, because what we're seeing, the success we're seeing, the five straight drives with touchdowns that we're seeing against the Pats, the incredible second half success we saw against the Cincinnati Bengals on offense, a lot of it was showing tendencies and breaking them. It was play action on first down where they used to run every first down. It was, you know, show the, like on, you know, a couple of the, on a critical third down conversion to Ty Johnson, they showed the whip screen to Khalil Shakir and then turned the other way and threw it to Ty Johnson. Like, yep. Some of those tendency breaking plays are the ones that are showing up now. I hope they have one more pivot, because if this is the final form, defenses, coaches too good in this league. They're going to figure that out. They're going to show those keys, and they're going to be able to cover both plays. Like, it's not impossible for a defense to say, look here first, then there, like, here's your keys, right? And so I do hope that they have kind of some different, even if it's just mix up the formations, have those types of plays, because you know you're good at them, run out of some different looks. But I will say that, you know, what we've seen in, you know, December, late November and December football from the Bills, with the exception of the Houston game, has been exceptional in terms of maintaining drives and letting Josh Allen do some things. I think also we know this is the case. It's happened every year for the past 3 years. When November, December, and January hits, Josh Allen's allowed to do whatever he wants, and that's when the Bills are always the most dangerous.
Absolutely.
It's not, you know, keep yourself healthy, Josh. Don't take what the defense will give you with your legs. Just eat the ball, throw it out of bounds, do whatever, you know, like live for another down. Now it's like, yeah, crunch time, go for it. Do whatever you need to.
Yep, absolutely. JJ, you talking about the postseason is a perfect transition for us. Before we get into the Cleveland game, I have not started doing a ton of homework yet on the AFC side of the playoff card, other than the teams that the Bills have already played, the Texans, the Patriots, the Steelers. Real quick before we move on to Cleveland, because it looks like the Bills are going to make the postseason. They're now in that time in the calendar where if this team loses or this team ties, the Bills are in type of situations. So assuming the Bills make the postseason, give me one team that you have your eye on as one that is worrying you the most currently for the way this Buffalo Bills team is still constructed.
I'll give you a 1 and a 1A. I'd say the 1 is Houston. 100%. Because all reasons, right? It's they have an absolute kryptonite of a pass rush. Josh Allen shaking most sacks is only useful if he can shake those sacks, and he can't. They're too good, right? And then 2 is the 1B would be Denver. They mm-hmm. also have a very solid defense. They've got a plucky team. They tend to be able to kind of turn it up when they need to. And so, and plus they'd have the extra added motivation of the early exit the Bills delivered to them in Buffalo last year in the playoffs.
Right. And they too have a quarterback who also only likes to play for about 2, maybe 1.5 quarters every game as well. Yeah. But saves his magic for the latter parts of the game. Houston's really scared of me, JJ, not because of that, not just because of the defense, which is formidable. And we know that the Bills want to make your DBs tackle, and those DBs in Houston are more than happy to tackle open space. dude, they figured out some stuff on offense. They've realized that they have a very traditional pocket presence, pocket passing QB, kind of a throwback in CJ Stroud. And those types of QBs love to exploit the middle of the field. They have two Cyclops-like wide receivers in Nico Collins, who is 6'4", and Jaden Higgins, who is 6'4". And all they're doing is running in-breakers to the middle of the field because there is not a team in the league that has the skill other than potentially the Denver Broncos to stop those two behemoths from absolutely owning in between the hash marks. And that's all they've been doing. They've been spamming in-breakers and a little bit of play action to the middle of the field to get this passing offense serviceable and going here in Houston. If Houston can also figure out how to run the ball a little bit more efficiently heading into the postseason, that to me is a team that's on the cusp of being complete. So Houston is my one, but I'll give you my 1B, and it might surprise you, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that defense is for real. I think that linebacker core can keep pace with our tight ends in the play action game. And while I think they're still figuring some things out with their DBs have been shown themselves more than willing to tackle and fit the run when called upon. I'm not sure I quite believe yet that Trevor Lawrence is this version of himself with this 6 total TD game that he had this past Sunday, but he has looked really good over the past 4 weeks. And the addition of Jacoby Myers to that offense, it just feels like that wide receiver room now slots in so much better. You don't need Brian Thomas Jr. to now do these in-breaking routes coming across the middle that he didn't want to do. He's now your vertical threat, your sideline burner, and you've got Myers owning all this space everywhere else in the middle of the field. And dude, they run the piss out of the ball with ETN Jr. I mean, it's just crazy. And they've got a good tight end game too with this Brenton Strange kid. That's an offense to me that's going to vex the Buffalo Bills defense. And I think their defense can throw enough wrinkles at the Bills offense to make it competitive. So Houston to me is threat one, number 1A. But like the Jaguars, man, right now, that's who we're matched up with in a 3-6. If the playoffs were to start today, that's not going to be an easy out. And the Bills have played some weird games against that franchise in the past.
Yeah, it's one of those weird. I feel like Houston and Jacksonville are those two teams in the AFC that the Bills just seem to not have an answer for or don't know how to navigate. And it could be either. It's like crazy, you know, whiteboard with the cigarette, Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme time.
Because Charlie Day, baby.
Yeah, looking at all of the outcomes that could possibly result in the Bills with the first seed and a first round bye. It could happen. It's not outside the box. There's a lot of things that the Bills have to win out, and then a lot of other stuff has to happen. There's maybe a couple of ties that need to happen, but yeah. Really, we could get there. And so that's still hoping for the division and a first round bye. But without that, yeah, there's matchups I would really not want to see, and there's teams I would really want to see. You know, like for instance, the Houston playing against Houston playing against Jacksonville, or Houston or Jacksonville playing against Denver, where the Bills have to play somewhere else, would be ideal for me if we are on the wild card weekend, just to get to the round two and have one of those two in each of those matchups gone.
How do you feel if the matchup somehow works itself out to where we get the Patriots again in the wild card round? How do you feel about facing them for a third time?
Traveling to the Patriots? I feel good about it because I don't think there's enough talent with the Patriots team broadly as a roster for the Bills not to have an answer in some way, right? Like, I think that the Patriots threw everything they possibly could at the Bills, and they got their 21-point lead, and then they kind of, that was that, you know, the counterpunch came and they couldn't do anything, so.
They were working real hard to make Drake May on those first couple of drives look like Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not asking him to throw the ball. They were taking their runs to the outside the tackle, making RDBs tackle, which is what we were going to do to them.
Yep.
The designed runs for Drake May. They were working really hard to not only try to win that game, but really kind of rub it into the Bills. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you could tell that they really cared about that game.
They wanted to posterize it. Yeah,
they did. I mean, Diggs chirping, Hollins chirping, the crybaby tour of Mike Vrabel with the New England media now about the officials not calling.
Well, and
holds.
That's like, and the thing, it's like, yeah, that was pathetic. And it's like, you got to be a real piece of work to go out and start crying about, you know, the refs. As an NFL coach, any NFL coach crying about the refs is a bad look because mm-hmm. everyone gets screwed sometimes. And it also is a worse look because Vrabel, of course, was a member as a player of the Patriots teams that had Brady, where they had statistically significant bad calls against opponents and good calls for them and rule changes to benefit them. He just looks like an entitled crybaby.
And were openly found to be cheating on multiple yes, occasions, right? Yeah. Right?
A proven team of cheaters feels like they should still be getting every call, and he still seems to feel that way.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. But, that game meant a lot to the Patriots, yes. right? And it makes you wonder. It does make you wonder. I think Vrabel's a great coach. He's a great, great game day situational coach. There were lots mm-hmm. of examples, even in the game against Buffalo, even in a losing effort, where I'm like, man, Vrabel's just making the right call there. You know what I mean? But it does make you wonder if with the bye week leading into that game, if they had maybe vested too much emotion in closing out the division in a certain way against this Buffalo Bills team. It does make you wonder how they would recalibrate to get this Patriots team up for a third game against the Bills, you know? So,
yeah.
you know, maybe we see it, maybe we don't, but regardless, the referee is better not swallow their flags when the Buffalo Bills yeah. are offensively holding the New England right. Patriots. Otherwise, Mike Vrabel will be very upset with you. JJ, I will be upset if we don't get to talk about this Cleveland Browns matchup we have coming up. It's meaningful not only because it is an AFC game and conference record may count towards some type of tiebreaker later on down the road for the division or, to your point, hopefully for the one seed. But JJ, this is also going to be the final road game of the Buffalo Bills season before they head into the playoffs against a really good defense that I think is going to test this version of the Bills offense in a couple of interesting ways. So where do you want to start, JJ? Do you want to start with the Cleveland Browns defense against the Bills offense, or do you want to go Shedeur Sanders versus Matt Milano?
Let's go Cleveland defense, Bills offense. And I will give you my basic complete picture of the Browns defense and how it's going to hurt the Bills. Myles Garrett. That's it. Like end of show. No, Myles Garrett and Alex Wright are both exceptionally good edge rushers. They pair extremely well. And then of course they have Shelby, the aged Shelby Harris and the rookie Mason Graham in the middle to round out that defensive line. It's a solid defensive line, especially studs against the run, not to mention their safeties, linebackers, and one of their two starting cornerbacks in Campbell, Tyson Campbell, are all exceptional against the run. Like they have one liability, or I guess two liabilities in the run game in tackling, and that's their slot corner and their other outside corner, Webb. Like that's it. There's everybody else is awesome at fitting the run. Devin Bush and Carson Schwechinger, the rook. Ooh.
Schwechinger tackling machine,
so good. It was hard to watch some of their games and then kind of do the mental, you know, do the fantasy land game of like, okay, what would it look like the Bills, knowing what I know about their blocking schemes, their approaches to fitting the run and finding ways to open up seams, what would that look like? Where's the cutback lane? It's nowhere. I think this is it, to your point earlier, if the Bills don't find a way to make their outside wide receivers work in this game, it's going to be a miserable long game, which is what we've seen with Bills Browns so many times, right? Like the 9-6, 9-3s,
yes,
you know, 13-10s. So I'm really worried it's going to be that, because I could see even this high powered Buffalo Bills offense, even Josh Allen, who we both know is exceptional. This is going to be the very near second best rushing attack or pass rushing attack that the Bills have faced, just a hair behind Houston. And it would be that way even if Myles Garrett was lined up across from, you know, TJ Sanders, right? Like mm-hmm. Somebody who's not great so far. Because he is that exceptional. Does he have 22 already?
Or he's got 21 and a half.
He's got 21 and a half.
So he could get the record against the Bills.
Right. And I think he will. I fully think he will too. Yeah.
I think he will too.
Well, yeah.
So the Cleveland Browns, JJ, number four in overall defensive DVOA, number two against the run, better than the Houston Texans, who we've already laid a lot of praise at their feet for shutting down this Buffalo Bills run game earlier this season in that Thursday night game. Lots of problems that this particular Cleveland Browns defense presents to the Buffalo Bills, including the ability, because of that linebacker core you mentioned, to take away some of their answers in the passing game, i.e. tight ends. The Bills have been leaning hard into early play action, boot action, shots to tight ends up the seam. And I mean, Schlesinger, excellent at guarding opposing tight ends. He's not just a tackling machine. He's not just great at the line of scrimmage and fitting the run. This dude is legit in coverage as well. They're the number four best team in DVOA when it comes to stopping opposing tight ends as pass catchers. JJ, the answers are, I think to your point, Shakir in the slot, but then not much else. This is also a Cleveland Browns team that's really good against designed QB runs. They're number three in DVOA. I find it really difficult, other than our defense flipping game script in our favor and winning the field position game, which is how teams have stressed this Cleveland Browns defense before, because shockingly, their red zone efficiency isn't top five. It's only top 11. So if you're going to get to the Browns, it's going to be somehow inside the 20s, right? So our defense, to me, JJ, has to give us advantageous field position, because it's going to be a long day if the Bills, who currently sit with the third worst average starting field position in the league offensively, have to go 80 yards, 79 yards, 74 yards regularly and matriculate the ball up the field against this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be tough. I agree with field position.
That's the best analysis I think you could give for this. Yeah, man, this is gonna be really hard.
This is gonna be so tough. Yeah, I know. Well, and that's the thing too, is like the way that the Bills work with their gap and zone run scheme is by essentially finding the mismatch, creating space, and then letting James Cook navigate, right? Like, he has patience, he's great at navigating. They do that, but in order to do that, you have to put pressure on the weak link. You have to do those duo blocks and scrape up to the linebacker and find a smaller linebacker who's bad at getting off of a guard or a center and make that seam happen where you kind of build the runway. And they just don't have that kind of liabilities, you know. And then once you get outside, like, okay, the Bills have done both. Like, okay, the gap run to the center, the duos with a lead blocker, you know, if that's shut down, okay, fine, we're going to go wide and make their DBs and safeties tackle. Their DBs and safeties are awesome at tackling.
Like, they're really good.
So, yeah, I don't look at this game and see a clear answer to how the Bills rushing attack is going to lead. So they have to find a way with the passing attack to lead, because I think that's the place, like you mentioned, you can make some hay. The outside corners are not exceptional coverage corners. They're much better kind of just generalists and all around corners. And so you have to kind of play the matchups to the outside, and you have to make that a quick hitting attack too, because Myles Garrett and Alex Wright are not going to wait.
Absolutely. And you're going to have to figure out a way to do it with less than maximizing your route runners that you're putting out there, because you're going to have to leave some extra protectors in, be it a Tyrell Shavers, be it a running back, right? Even the Cleveland Browns, when they attack running backs as pass catchers, are top five in the league in DVOA. Yep. The answers will be few and far between, JJ. But to me, it's about giving our offense as many bites at that apple as we can and simply win a war of attrition. And that's going to be happened by our defense stepping up against one Shedeur Sanders. So JJ, flipping it over here to our defensive matchup against the Cleveland Browns offense. This is a team that's notably struggled to find its QB. They've gone through various iterations from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel, now settling on Shedeur Sanders. This is not that this has mattered for other teams. The Cleveland Browns have not been overly efficient. They're only number 29 in the league when it comes to rushing efficiency. And JJ, this is the worst passing offense in the league too, despite the fact that they've rotated through three QBs. Shedeur Sanders is really unique to me, JJ, not just because of the media hype around him, but the fact that it's a night and day scenario. When he is throwing behind the line of scrimmage, running back screens, wide receiver screens, his EPA per play is top 4 in the league, according to Next Gen Stats. All other throws, meaning all other throws 1 yard past the line of scrimmage and more, he is bottom 4 in the league. He's rolling in with a completion percentage that sits at 52.4% right now, and he just invites a ton of pressure. 5 TDs to 6 INTs this year. He's basically playing like a rookie. To me, JJ, whatever advantage the Cleveland Browns defense has against this Buffalo Bills offense, this Bills defense needs to take advantage of the rookie QB that they're facing on the other side, generate turnovers, which we haven't seen them do in great consistency this year, and give Josh Allen and James Cook multiple opportunities to put points up on the board. It could very well be a field goal affair, but to me, this should be a game where the Buffalo Bills are getting 9, even 10 offensive drives, just by virtue of the fact that we should be able to expect sacks and turnovers against this Cleveland Browns offense.
Yeah, they don't have a single wide receiver that's rated better than like 106th in the league, right? Like they are very poor talent-wise on the offensive side of the ball. Quinshon Judkins and Harold Fannin Jr. are both awesome. I have them both on my fantasy team. They can do really good things. They can blow up here and there if they you know, have an opportunity to do so. So I see some problems with the Bills rushing defense here, but it's not the same even as the Patriots. Like, they have a pretty poor offensive line. Their right tackle is a 7th round pick. Their left tackle is Cam Robinson, who's been a journeyman, not super good left tackle. Their center is one of the worst in the league. I think he's a backup, because I want to say that their starting center went down. If their starting center didn't go down, then it's a atrocious amount of roster building to have Whipler starting, because he's one of the worst in the league. So it's the kind of thing where I agree with you completely. You know, based on when you look at an opponent, you say, okay, what do they do best? What do we need to shut down? They don't do a lot very well on offense. Their offense is quite inept, and that is why they only have 3 wins on the season. And they just lean on their defense. And so, yeah, it might be a low scoring field goal affair. But I do agree that the Bills defense has looked opportunistic enough to, especially with Bosa in there playing with Shaq Thompson. Hopefully this is a rebound game for him. And then hopefully the Bills can see Benford back on the outside, because I think that Benford not only is a better corner than any of their starting wide receivers, he also offers so much in helping the wide run, you know, support game. He's an incredible tackler, and they really need that. They will need that in this game, in a game where I feel like it's going to get messy.
It is. And in a field goal affair, it is really terrible that the Buffalo Bills do not have their starting place kicker, because it looks like Matt Prater's already been ruled out for this game with an injury.
I think his gout acting up, his arthritis. What's
terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible.
He's been awesome.
He's been great. And we're both old men too. Yeah, so don't invite on him what you could curse us with.
He's our age, right?
Is he 40? Is he 42?
He's 42. Yeah.
Dear Jesus. Yes. Yeah. God bless him and Phil Rivers.
Man. I know. Yeah.
Dear Lord. All right, JJ, let's get to some predictions sure to go wrong here. The Bills are favored by 10. On the road against Cleveland, despite the fact that they've got this vaunted defense. Over-under is a 42.5, so Vegas is expecting a fairly low-scoring game in this affair. JJ, where are you at with final score?
They're favored by 10?
They're favored by 10 on the road.
What is the over-under again?
42.5.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Stunning, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to say Bills 21, Browns 13. Because that's what it feels like in my bones.
Yeah. I'm going to go Bills 21 here, Cleveland 3.
Okay.
I think it's going to be an ugly day for all sides of the ball for the Buffalo Bills, but this Bills defense with its 4-man pressure should be more than enough to get to Shedeur Sanders and cause him to make some mistakes. JJ, this could also very well be a game where I'm screaming at the TV because the Buffalo Bills defense, despite all its issues, is playing an inferior opponent and playing down to the level of that opponent, which they have done so many times this season. But it's December. playoff seeding is on the line. I would hope that they find another gear and figure it out. So I'm going to go Buffalo Bills 21, Cleveland Browns 3.
Okay. I would like to present a prop, which is over under Shedeur Sanders half interception. It's the same prop I brought up last week and got right when I said over to Trey White. I called it Trey White with a pick.
I'm surprised you waited this long into the pod to bring that up.
So I'm going to say Shedeur Sanders throws an interception in this game. And I'm saying it's over 0.5, a half interception, and it's to Harrison this time.
Yeah. Ooh, Max Harrison. Harrison could use one. I love the way he's battled the past 2 weeks against T. Higgins in Cincinnati and then in battling his run fits against New England. That kid's a gamer. I would love to see him get a pick here. I'm gonna take the over. Like, Sanders is a low completion percentage QB, struggles with this is gonna sound like a shot, and I guess it is, struggles with the forward passing game in the NFL. Blake, and you know, all the bad habits that he had in college, he's brought here to a really bad,
holds the ball, runs around.
Yeah. Like, to me, there is no reason why the Bills shouldn't be able to turn him over, which tells me that they probably won't. But so given that that's the case, I'm still going to take the over. I got faith in Max Harrison. He's my guy. Right. I've got one prop bet for you as well. JJ, wide receiver catches in this game, over under 5.5. So the Buffalo Bills offense, just so we're, has put up over 90 points combined the past 3 weeks. Their wide receiver room has a grand total of 17 catches during that time frame. And they only have one TD catch out of those 90 plus points. So JJ, over under 5.5 catches. We've already talked about how the wide receivers might need to feature.
I'm saying over. I have to hit over because like I said earlier in the pod, when I look at this matchup, they have to have production from wide receivers if they want the offense to be effective. It's not going to come just by force feeding James Cook and trying to throw to the seam where the strength of the Cleveland defense is.
If it's over, that shows me that Joe Brady has taken the step he needs to be truly creative and truly non-predictable in this particular game, which is why I am taking the under, because I am not convinced that Joe Brady is going to lean into any tendency breakers. I think we're still going to see a lot of boot action to tight ends. We'll see how effective it is. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff out of the Ty Johnson screen game, Khalil Shakir screen game. I just think that Brady believes more in the formula to beat teams than we do as a general game watching fan base. Like, even Vrabel was saying it at the end of this Patriots game. He's like, yeah, we knew what they were running on offense. What did they say after the Pittsburgh game? Yeah, right. We knew what they were running on offense. Like, it's just a matter of whether or not you can stop it. And I think Brady is a little bit of a sicko, which I admire, in that he likes doing stuff that people know is coming and that they can't stop.
Right.
And I think he's addicted to that high, and I think he's going to do it in this game, and I don't think it's going to be effective.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. And he's got to find a way to pivot, or it's not going to work.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's gonna be a very telling game, I think. It's gonna be the last great defense the Bills are gonna face this season before they enter into the playoffs. So great road test for them, without a doubt, as they get playoff caliber. So JJ, always a pleasure podding with you. Yeah. For all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your pods. We are on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.